How can anyone be born after growing old? Can one enter a second time into the womb and be born? Nicodemus asked these questions of Jesus, who answered about a different kind of birth, a birth born of the Spirit. I love it that the gospel gives us this idea of the Spirit giving birth to us, using feminine energy for the divine on this Sunday that follows the International Day of the Woman. We could think of the season of Lent as a dark womb, preparing us for spiritual rebirth. But first, I ask that we spend some time with Nicodemus's interesting and thoughtful questions. Questions he asked of Jesus in the darkness of nighttime. To refresh my understanding of what happens after birth, I asked our newest parents, Nicole and Corey, to comment on how they felt after bringing little Julian into the world last week. We chatted on FaceTime on Thursday night with Julian resting contentedly on his father's chest the whole time. At one point, he wriggled his little face to the side and he opened his eyes and I got to see them. And so far, he's a peaceful little kid. As for Nicole and Corey, Corey says that what has changed has been his expertise at a quick and confident diaper change. But more than that, they both agree that after a month of both of them battling an outrageous flu and doing extremely long hours after they recovered at each of their offices and feeling anxious about Nicole's health and the health of the baby to come, now that he's here and they are on parental leave, they say a calm has washed over them. Their anxieties of work have dissipated as their new priority snuggles before them, and they feel in their partnership an amazing support from one another. Feeling calm and peaceful? Shifting priorities to what really matters? Feeling supported by those around you? And getting rid of the crap in your life with skill and confidence? Sign me up. That's a birth I want to experience too. Okay, I realize that not everyone has such a serene birth experience. Not all women have babies, and some of us aren't women at all. And I have a friend who was in her late 40s when pregnancy caught her and her husband entirely by surprise, since they had needed to try with great dedication to achieve the pregnancy of their first child 10 years earlier. 2 weeks after learning she was pregnant, my friend had a miscarriage. Now, they hadn't planned on a second child. In fact, their first child had a number of challenges his first year that required medical treatment and early intervention. And as they creeped into their late 40s, they knew it just wasn't in the cards for them to have another baby. Yet, still, my friend was devastated. She felt her body had betrayed her. Sex, which had been a meaningful way of finding connection and joy with her husband, became a chore that she was never interested in. And she was left with the question, what life can be born from this dark womb? This dark womb that felt like her whole body. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? They asked this question as Jesus was just beginning his ministry. Jesus' own birth story was not nearly as peaceful and serene as popular nativity scenes portray it. Jesus came into the world unhoused. Jesus came into the world persecuted. His mom was a young teenager. He was born into a creation that groans and suffers, not to be above it all, but to be very much part of it. Jesus tells us about earthly things so that we can know about heavenly things. But if we cannot understand the earthly things, How can we understand the heavenly things? When I was about 12 years old, my New Age stepmother sent me to a rebirthing seminar for kids held in the ballroom of the Holiday Inn. My family was in the midst of some chaotic years, so I guess my stepmother and dad wanted me to have this experience as a way to reset and to be able to have a new start. Some parents tell their struggling kids to suck it up. Other parents with resources might send their kids on an outward bound experience in Utah. My hippie family gave me a rebirthing seminar in a hotel along an Atlanta interstate. All I remember of that experience was lying on the hotel carpet alongside a bunch of other children and doing some deep breathing exercises while being guided with someone with a calming voice. And then being part of a debrief session where other children described profound experiences. "And what did you feel?" the facilitator asked me. I searched my blank mind, trying to grasp for something besides the generic smells of the hotel carpet floor and the hum of the dimmed fluorescent lights. "I think I might have felt a pinprick in the arch of my foot," I told them. And this comment was met with much rejoicing as they made quite a big deal that this was a sign of me coming into awareness and sensation of my newly born body. I was skeptical. Nicodemus might have been just as skeptical as he listened to Jesus tell him, "Very truly, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Don't get me wrong. Nicodemus was already all in when it came to religion. He was a Pharisee, a leader of the Jews. And even though we talk about the Pharisees as often being antagonists of Jesus, he seems to have already recognized Jesus' authority. As he told him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs you do apart from the presence of God." But still, Nicodemus didn't know what Jesus meant, and he kept pushing him for clarity. I have cousins who can point to the exact moment in their lives when they were born again. There is a clear before and after, and once they turn their lives over to Jesus, they will tell you everything was different. To be honest, I'm kind of envious of them. Some born-again Christians also have a clear understanding of the end times, a confidence that God will gather them all in a marvelous, rapturous departure from this broken and flawed earth so that they can live into some new and bounteous life with God. I think that people like that are perhaps less likely to buy into the fear that is around us right now, given our anxieties and vulnerabilities to the virus creeping across the globe and even in our own community. Their religious imagination has prepared them for this, and they simply trust that God is in control. My faith isn't quite like that. It's not that I haven't dedicated my life to Jesus. In fact, I do that over and over again at different points in my faith journey. Sometimes it feels like an intentional choice made out of loyalty and gratitude to God. Sometimes it feels like, well, I might as well, as I consider the other options and they don't appeal to me as much. But other times, rededicating my life to Jesus feels like falling in love. As for me, the concept of rebirth rings true in my life. I can even point to certain moments in my life when I experienced rebirth that felt very spiritual. Awakening to a call to ministry. Discovering how active God is in the lives of people on the margins. Feeling hope again after witnessing and mourning the traumatic death of my mom. If you think about it, perhaps you have also had some of these moments where you can see there was a spiritual rebirth. But to truly be reborn, I don't know if I can say I have truly experienced that, at least not to the glory I imagine when Jesus talks about witnessing the kingdom of God through being born from above. But that doesn't mean I don't believe it won't happen. In fact, I'm holding out hope that it will, that this glory is yet to come, and it will be spectacular. If you haven't experienced such glory yet, either, take heart. I'm going to trust here, but my trust tells me that we haven't seen anything yet. The best is yet to come. Doesn't seem that Nicodemus had experienced rebirth spiritually either, at least not in the darkness of the night when he questioned Jesus. And yet, that won't be the last we hear of Nicodemus. He shows up again. He defended Jesus when Jesus was confronted by the religious authorities and showed up again to take Jesus' broken body from the cross when he showed up with aloe and myrrh. I wonder how much Nicodemus thought of Jesus' words about rebirth as Nicodemus' hands gently glided and anointed over Jesus' lifeless body, as Nicodemus swallowed him with the help of Joseph of Arimathea and laid him in a garden tomb. Did Nicodemus know in that moment that the tomb would be for Jesus a dark womb of new birth? It occurs to me that is a moment when all control has seeped out of Jesus' body, that he was most ready for rebirth. You can't control birth. You can't stock up on the circumstances for rebirth. You can't achieve them by being elected elder or singing in the choir or being the deacon with the best prayers. You can't line up a schedule for rebirth, fitting it in with getting your work projects done and making it to the gym and still making healthy choices for dinner with your family. Jesus said, "The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." These words of Jesus tell me that spiritual birth is a gift from God, not a gift that is earned or controlled by us. We only have to be willing to receive it. Now, not everyone gives birth, but everyone experiences being born. It's a universal experience we all share, even if we cannot remember it. But let me tell you this. God's plan for salvation is also universal. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world, that God gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life." Too often, Christians have been narrowly focused on the part of who believes in him as the condition for salvation. But if they go on to the next verse, they can see, indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. What God offers through Jesus Christ is a gift to a broken world, to all the world. And I don't believe that it's based on the condition that people believe in him. It is a gift as generous as a mother pushing a child into the world. And frankly, we have no choice in the matter. So let's participate in it and receive the gift. Amen.